Welcome to the Small Batch edition of Pop Culture Happy Hour. I'm Linda Holmes. I'm the editor of NPR's pop culture and entertainment blog, Monkey See. And I'm here in the studio with Stephen Thompson of NPR Music. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Linda.
And also with Gene Demby of NPR's Code Switch. Hey, buddy.
Hey, friend.
So we are all here in the studio together. It is Monday morning, and we are a little less than 12 hours separated from the overdue end of the Oscars.
They haven't been running this entire time? I wouldn't know for sure.
No, and I should mention, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit froggy. I did not lose my voice screaming at the Oscars, but I do have a little bit of a cold, so I apologize for the strange sound of that. Before we get into actual winners and losers, so to speak, the big story, I think, going into this Oscars, it's safe to say, was the questions about diversity or inclusiveness, having to do with the all-white acting nominees and the fact that people had very high expectations for what might happen with Chris Rock hosting. If you remember, in 2012, one of the few things that people liked about that year's Oscars was a little bit that he did about animated movies.
I love animation. I love animation because in the world of animation, you can be anything you want to be. If you're a fat woman, you can play a skinny princess. If you're a short, wimpy guy, you can play a tall gladiator. If you're a white man, you can play an Arabian prince. And if you're a black man, you can play a donkey or a zebra.
So I think people had kind of high expectations. Gene, how did you feel about the Chris Rock monologue?
Oh, it was so unfortunate on so many levels.
Talk to me about that.
So I was on the train, so I was reading sort of the reaction as I'm in the middle of this tweet storm about this long history of black folks protesting the Oscars for their lack of inclusivity. And at one point he says, like, you know, black people weren't protesting the Oscars in 1962 and 1963. They had more important things to protest.
I'm sure there were no black nominees some of those years, say 62 or 63. And black people did not protest. Why? Because we had real things to protest at the time. You know?
And as he's saying all this stuff, unbeknownst to me, I'm like tweeting about how specifically in those years, there were really, really unruly protests by black actors on the red carpet. They were moved for trespassing. They were thrown in jail. And they were kind of militant because these actors felt like the Oscars were not obviously the institution that was like giving jobs in Hollywood away, but they were the ones rewarding excellence.
Right. They reflect
what's
going on in Hollywood.
The sort of values of Hollywood. And so that was the pressure point. And that's been an ongoing conversation. I mean, all these old civil rights groups have had like Hollywood arms meant to like increase diversity in Hollywood. In 1996, there was a whole hullabaloo. Jesse Jackson tried to have an Oscars boycott that was widely lampooned. It was seen as a joke, even though people were saying like, hey, this is messed up. But like the verbiage from the 96 Oscars looks exactly like the conversation that we're having this year and last year, too. This is not a new problem. And we have a long history of protesting these things. So it was just really like, ugh. And a few of us noticed that, like, there was a very different reaction among the white people we followed on Twitter to Chris Rock's monologue and the black people we follow on Twitter. The white people were much more sort of happy with this monologue and black people much more ambivalent about it.
Yeah, because I got the sense that there was some ambivalence around not only those comments, but when he talked about how black people used to have real things to protest, it seemed to imply that, like, now they don't. And I saw some people taking exception to that.
In the middle of this huge protest movement that's happening right now.
Well, and at the very end, he shouted out, like, Black Lives Matter. At the same time as, like, buy Girl Scout cookies. I think there was a really interesting combination of, like, earnestness and, like, glibness in what he was doing. It was fascinating to me because parts of it I thought were clearly at the expense of the Academy and at the expense of Hollywood for lack of inclusiveness or whatever. But other stuff really felt like it was at the expense of people like Jada Pinkett Smith and stuff like that. I don't know.
So for me, this experience of watching 3.5 hours of the Oscars, it felt like the Oscars have, before the ceremony started, the Oscars have perpetrated this injustice. And now they are going to spend 3.5 hours congratulating themselves for addressing the injustice that they themselves perpetrated. And the term that I came up with when we were talking about this before the show was self-conflagellation, where it collectively, it started to feel like, aren't we brave? And I'm not saying necessarily about Chris Rock so much as the tone in the room, like bringing this up again and again, which it's important and valuable to bring this up and talk about it. But the Oscars are such an inherently self-congratulatory exercise to begin with, and kind of a humorless exercise to begin with. It couldn't help but feel like the Oscars were lecturing me about their own lack of diversity. And that just clanged to me after a while.
I think the other thing that I noticed, or one of the other things I noticed, there were jokes that Chris Rock made in that monologue that I don't think I would have found as uncomfortable but for cutting to like the white people in the audience, like laughing at them.
Right.
Like when he started to talk about how, you know, nobody protested the Oscars in the 1960s because they had real things to get upset about, quote unquote, which is a whole weird, like that piece of language is so complicated. Mm-hmm. But then when you cut to like a bunch of very, very wealthy, like very privileged white people in the audience just like loving the heck out of that joke, mm-hmm. it becomes a whole other joke. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, this context changes everything. You're like, even if it was a joke you would make in a barbershop, let's say, and even then, I don't know how well that would go over, but even if it was a joke you would make there, like the context of who the listeners are always matters.
And as you talked about, this has happened before and these boycotts have happened before. I don't think so much of that conversation has ever taken place on the stage in a way that kind of pushed its way into the actual ceremony itself before. Mm-hmm. I think you would have gotten like two jokes.
Sure.
And then the rest of it would have all been like, look, it's Jack Nicholson. Whereas this, he really stayed on this pretty much throughout the entire show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they seem to replace a lot of typical Oscar filler with at least filler that was relevant to the issues at hand. There were way fewer, as we always talk about around the Oscars, the salute to the movies.
Right.
they had that one clip reel in the beginning that was a montage of the notable performances of the year, which, as I said on Twitter at the time, was a mashup of the Best Picture nominees, notable performances by unnominated black people, and Ted 2.
Oh my God.
That's true. There's some truth to that. So in terms of other stuff in the Oscars, you had the performance by Lady Gaga of her song from the documentary The Hunting Ground, introduced by Vice President Joe Biden, who said, by the way, referred to her as his friend Lady
My
Gaga.
Friend Lady
and
Gaga.
I really, really want that to be true. I feel like I need that to be true. I need them to be like texting. That's important. I feel like that's important to me.
Yeah. And then, of course, the Oscars being the Oscars, managed to undercut that big moment by then giving the big award to that stultifying Sam Smith ballad from Spectre.
Spectre, very much.
And then accepted the award by acknowledging that he was the first gay person ever to win an Oscar, which was patently untrue.
Yeah,
as recently as last year.
Yeah,
it sounds like my understanding of what happened is that Sam Smith, misunderstood a thing that Ian McKellen said about openly gay actors to be openly gay people. And so he put his foot in it a little bit.
There's this website for Sam Smith called Google that I highly, highly recommend. But I did want to get you, while we're starting to talk about the actual awards, there was, as we saw last night, a major, major injustice addressed that, when it happened, received a thundering standing ovation so we could all stand up and cheer just the reversal of an injustice that has been done to Leonardo DiCaprio.
Thank you. Thank you all so very much.
That was very bizarre.
Over the course of his 75-year career.
Yeah. So Leonardo DiCaprio won Best Actor for The Revenant, a movie in which he gets attacked by a bear.
Yep.
You probably heard that. Does a lot of grunting in that movie. I think he's a very good actor. I don't know if this is my favorite performance of his. Brie Larson won Best Actress for Room, which is a movie in which I think she's very wonderful. But honestly, she's also done a bunch of other things that I think are wonderful that also kind of contribute to why I'm glad that she won.
I was a huge fan of Room. It's a movie that's like hard to recommend to people because it's so dark, but it is fantastic. And I'd never seen Brie Larson in anything before.
You should see Trainwreck.
I will.
Did you see Trainwreck?
She's a sister. She's the sister in Trainwreck.
Oh, never mind.
But you should track her down in a movie called Short Term 12.
Okay,
I
will watch
it. Which is very, very good. And that's the one where I think she first started getting a lot of attention. It was a very small movie, but she started to get a lot of attention in that.
So I was happy that she won because, I mean, I just thought she was fantastic.
Yeah. You had Mark Rylance from Bridge of Spies won Best Supporting Actor.
Which I was happy about, even though I'm not necessarily a huge fan of that movie. I thought that performance was delightful. A lot of people were bummed that Sylvester Stallone didn't get a chance to make up for not mentioning Ryan Coogler at the Golden Globes.
Yeah. We also had Alicia Vikander from The Danish Girl, who I think a lot of people liked better in Ex Machina.
I think that was a cumulative award. I think people wanted her to have that award for Ex Machina as much as The Danish Girl.
And then I knew that Stephen was going to be very, very excited because Spotlight won Best Picture instead of The Revenant or some of the other things that might have won.
Yeah, I was really happy about Spotlight, which, as we said in the preview, I just loved the subtlety of it. I was a little bummed that one of the Oscar clips they showed for it was the one scene where Mark Ruffalo is shouting. Mm-hmm. It's the one really Oscar clippy scene in an incredibly un-Oscar clippy movie. But to paraphrase Scott Tobias, our pal on Twitter last night, I was so incredibly happy to see anything but The Revenant win. It was such a great win for anything but The Revenant.
Did you care about any of the other stuff that was going on in the Oscars?
I was pretty partial to Spotlight. It was
You talked about it on the show one time.
Yeah, it was one of my happies one time. I really, really dug it.
I thought Inside Out winning for Best Animated Feature, though widely expected, was a wonderful moment.
Sure.
I thought Pete Docter's speech
made me watch Pete Docter.
So happy. I could watch that guy win Oscars all day.
Well, and he looks like a Pixar character.
He really does. He's got kind of like a teapot head.
It's so great. He looks like he could be in a Pixar movie. It makes me so joyful.
We want to thank our wives, Amanda,
Michelle,
our kids. This film was really born from watching our kids grow up, which is not easy. Anyone out there who's in junior high, high school, working it out, suffering, there are days you're going to feel sad, you're going to feel angry, you're going to feel scared. That's nothing you can choose, but you can make stuff. Make films, draw, write. It'll make a world of difference.
It was pretty great. Less great, leaving out two of the Best Song nominees just because they were by not as famous people.
Yeah, you had the Sam Smith one, the Lady Gaga one.
And The Weeknd.
And The Weeknd one.
But you left off this beautiful David Lang composition from Youth, and you left out Anani, who used to perform in Antony and the Johnsons, which would have been a rare opportunity to see a trans performer on TV, and is also an incredibly wonderful and talented singer.
Yeah.
And them just deciding, like, well, these two people aren't as well known, so we'll only have the stars perform.
Yeah.
I thought was really, really frustrating. That and playing off impassioned speeches about diversity with Wagner.
Oh my gosh. When the woman who did the documentary short was talking about the possibility that her film had motivated a change in the laws about honor killings in Pakistan, and they start playing dun da 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 dun da da da. And you're just like, this is a super terrible bad look. And as much as I was not crazy about The Revenant, when Iñárritu was kind of just hung in there when the band started playing, because he was talking about, aspiring to a world free of prejudice, and they started dun da da. He just was like, forget it.
He
and
just
kept
powered
talking.
Through.
I very lucky to be here tonight, okay? But unfortunately, many others haven't had the same luck. There is a line in the film that says, Glass to his mixed race son. They don't listen to you. They just see the color of your skin.
I'm not necessarily a huge fan of that guy's movies, but I loved him in that moment. And I always think
him versus the band.
I'll pick just about anybody versus the band.
I would have picked the bear. Absolutely. All right. Well, full episodes of Pop Culture Happy Hour are available every Friday on iTunes or wherever you find podcasts or at npr.org. Thanks for coming in this morning, you guys.
Thank you.